Hello and welcome to the Magazine Rack on Chris. I'm Mario Cajar, and today I'll be reading from the PetRadar.com website, the DogTime.com website, the PetMD website, and the Dodo.com website. First up is an article by veterinarian Dr. Jenny Rizzo titled, How Do Dogs Get Heartworm Disease? And here's an editor's note, April is National Heartworm Awareness Month. What is heartworm disease in dogs? Heartworm disease is a serious and sometimes fatal disease caused by parasitic worms that grow in a dog's heart, lungs, and arteries. Heartworm disease can be easily prevented in dogs, but it's unfortunately quite common, affecting at least a million dogs in the U.S. While heartworm disease in dogs is treatable, it can cause serious and lasting damage. So, how do dogs get heartworm disease? Heartworms are spread by mosquitoes that carry infective heartworm larvae, which are tiny, immature heartworms. Not all mosquitoes carry heartworm larvae, only those insects that have previously fed on an animal with heartworm disease carry the larvae. Within just 5 months of the dog being bitten by an infected mosquito, the heartworms that started out as tiny larvae can grow to be up to 12 inches long. Dogs and several wild canine species, including coyotes, foxes, and wolves, are considered natural hosts for heartworms and are highly susceptible to becoming infected if they're not on regular heartworm preventive medication. So here's how heartworm disease spreads in dogs. Mosquitoes play an essential role in the life cycle of heartworms in dogs at two different stages of heartworm development. Feeding on blood is a necessity for female mosquitoes because they need nutrients found in blood to lay their eggs. Female mosquitoes feed frequently, drinking roughly 3 times their weight in blood at any given feeding time. A dog becomes infected with heartworms when a mosquito carrying heartworm larvae bites the dog and injects the larvae into the dog's skin while feeding on the dog's blood. These larvae quickly make their way into the dog's bloodstream and then on to the heart, lungs, and arteries. Within just 5 months of the dog being bitten by an infected mosquito, the heartworms that started out as tiny larvae grow up to be 12 inches long. These spaghetti-like adult worms can live for up to 7 years inside the dog. Over time, as the worms die, the dead worms will begin to clog a dog's heart, lungs, and arteries. Dogs can also continue to become reinfected if mosquitoes carrying larvae continue to feed on them. Additionally, once heartworms reach adulthood, they can mate inside your dog, producing millions of microscopic babies called microfiliari that live in your dog's bloodstream. So here's where mosquitoes play their second role in the heartworm life cycle. When a mosquito feeds on a dog carrying microfiliari, she ingests the baby worms along with her blood meal. The mosquito's body then incubates these babies for 10 to 14 days, at which point they have become heartworm larvae and can be transmitted to dogs, cats, ferrets, and other susceptible animals. Is heartworm disease contagious to other dogs? And the answer is no. Your dog cannot catch heartworms directly from another animal infected with heartworms. A mosquito must bite an infected animal and then carry the heartworms to another animal to deposit. In other words, heartworm disease can only be carried and spread by mosquitoes. Anytime there are mosquitoes and infected animals in your area, your pet will be at risk if they're not on heartworm prevention. If your dog becomes infected with heartworms, they should be treated by your veterinarian as soon as possible to minimize the damage these parasites can cause. Damage begins to happen the minute heartworms reach the heart and lungs and continues to worsen if the worms remain there. Because heartworms can cause lifelong damage, treatment should not be considered a substitute for prevention. The heart and lung damage caused by heartworms is never totally reversible. Heartworms cause thickening and hardening of arteries, inflammation of the lungs, and enlargement and stretching of the heart. If the heartworm disease is left untreated, dogs can develop heart failure and even die. Treatment for heartworms is significantly more expensive than prevention, entailing multiple medications and veterinary visits over the course of several months. Additionally, strict exercise and activity restrictions are necessary before, during, and after treatment depending on the severity of the heartworm disease case. So, how can you prevent heartworms in your dog? Anywhere there are mosquitoes, there's a risk of heartworms. But here's the good news. Heartworm infection is easy to prevent. As soon as your dog reaches 6 to 8 weeks of age, you can begin giving heartworm prevention. If your dog is older, they can start heartworm prevention at any time. It's never too late to begin. Just be sure your dog is first tested for heartworms. If they were previously unprotected, it's possible they could have heartworm disease, and if so, you'll want to get them treated as soon as possible. Heartworm preventatives are safe, affordable, and highly effective. And when given as directed, heartworm medication can be almost 100% effective in preventing heartworm infection in your dog. Heartworm preventatives for dogs are available by prescription from your veterinarian, and they come in several formulations. Your veterinarian can discuss these options with you and help you determine which product and formulation makes sense for your dog and your lifestyle. It's important to know, however, that while some products protect against heartworms only, other products can protect your dog from other common pests like fleas, ticks, mites, and intestinal parasites. Heartworm preventatives are safe, affordable, and highly effective. When given as directed, heartworm medication can be almost 100% effective in preventing heartworm infection in your dog. Whichever preventative medication you and your veterinarian decide is best for your dog, it's essential that you give the preventative on time, every time. The American Heartworm Society recommends year-round heartworm prevention for all pets, and this includes dogs, cats, and ferrets, in order to ensure they stay protected from deadly heartworms. If you miss a dose or give heartworm preventatives only during certain months of the year, your dog could become infected. Even if your dog spends most of their time indoors or you live in a cold weather climate, they're still at risk. Mosquitoes can easily come indoors and can also survive in outdoor protected areas for long lengths of time during the winter. So if you live in a community or locale where mosquitoes are present, the odds are good that infected dogs or wildlife are nearby as well. Therefore, keeping your dog on year-round heartworm prevention is a safe, cost-effective, and easy way to ensure that your dog is protected from this deadly disease. You're listening to the Magazine Rack on Chris. Up next is an article by Jim McCauley with veterinarian Dr. Rebecca McMillan titled, Vet Shares 4 Tips for Dealing with Aggressive Kittens, and the last one really got us thinking. Trying to manage aggressive kittens is not at all what comes to mind when you think about welcoming a new little bundle of fluff into your family. But yet, that's something exactly what cat owners find themselves having to deal with. While you may have spent ages researching the best kitten food and investing in quality toys, you probably didn't give a great deal of thought to the possibility that you might end up with a kitten who hisses at you, bites, scratches, and marks all the furniture. There are so many things to consider when you get a kitten, and understanding what aggression is, how it manifests, and what you can do to prevent it can be really helpful. There are all sorts of situations that may cause a kitten to behave aggressively, and being aware of these can help you manage any issues that may arise. To get to the bottom of this complex issue, we invested the help of veterinarian Dr. Rebecca McMillan, who shared her thoughts with us on why your kitten may be acting aggressively, how to know if they're being aggressive or simply engaging in rough play, and what you can do to put a stop to aggressive behavior before it gets out of hand. So, how can you tell the difference between an over-exuberant kitten behavior and actual aggression? Well, there are a few signs to look out for. First is biting and scratching. Is your kitten biting you or scratching you a little too much? Obviously, not all biting and scratching from a kitten is necessarily aggressive. It could be simply that they're getting overstimulated during playtime. However, if your kitten starts attacking you at random moments, there could be a bit more to it than that. Number 2 is hissing. Kittens know that hissing is a threat. It's one of the earliest lessons they learn from their moms, who will hiss at very young kittens as a form of warning. If your kitten hisses at you, it's a sign that it's feeling threatened or scared. Number three is marking. Another thing a kitten might do if they're feeling scared or threatened or even bored is mark their territory with urine, something you definitely don't want around the house. And number four is aggressive body language. Every cat owner needs to know the physical cues that a cat might express when it's feeling aggressive, frightened, or threatened. Crouching, flat ears turned backwards, dilated pupils, arched backs, and bottle brush tails are all signs that something isn't right and that you should approach with caution. So, why is my kitten being aggressive? Well, there's no simple explanation as to why your kitten might be acting aggressively. There are instead a number of possible reasons, and depending on your kitten's situation, it could be any, and potentially a combination, of them. By keeping an eye on your kitten's behavior, you should be able to deduce which of these reasons lie behind any aggressive outbursts. The first reason could be hunting and stalking instincts. In most kittens, the most likely reason for aggressive behavior is its own instinct to hunt and stalk. Most kitten play is about polishing its hunting prowess, and sometimes this spills out beyond play fighting with siblings and pouncing on toys, and your kitten sees your hands or feet as prey to be attacked. Thankfully, this is easy to rectify, and we'll come back to it later. Two is lack of socialization. A kitten that's been weaned too early or hand-reared may not have had time to pick up all the important social cues that most cats take for granted, and this may result in aggression towards people and also to other cats, simply because they haven't learned the rules. Third is fear or curiosity. Fear and curiosity are two sides of the same coin. If your kitten is confronted by something unfamiliar, it can react to it in either way, but in both instances, the end result can be an aggressive lashing out. Number four, they're being territorial. If you've introduced a new kitten to a home shared with other pets, you'll have likely started it off by confining it to a single room before gradually introducing it to the rest of the household. However, this could well result in your kitten seeing that particular room as its own territory, and it may not take kindly to its new housemates encroaching on its own domain. Similarly, your kitten may well view its litter tray as its own personal space, and it'll be similarly annoyed if other pets get too close to it. Number five is boredom or overstimulation. Is your cat bored? An under- or overstimulated kitten can be a dangerous little thing. If it's bored because it's not being played with enough, or if there aren't enough toys to play with or exciting places to explore, it may express its frustration through aggression. And at the other end of the scale, an overexcited cat, whether it's gotten carried away during playtime or had enough of being cuddled and petted, can just as easily go on the attack. And finally, there could be a medical explanation for your kitten's behavior, which might well necessitate a trip to the vet. Kitten teething could easily erupt in a grumpy little feline, but that at least is something you can remedy with the best kitten teething toys, but other, more serious dental problems can make it act aggressively as well. However, if your kitten has an underlying medical condition, is in pain, or if they have problems with their central nervous system, this could also result in aggressive behavior. If your kitten's showing other signs of possible ill health, such as a change in appetite, weight loss, increased urination, or vomiting, you should definitely get him to the vet to be checked out. Maybe they don't like being touched. Kittens can be aggressive for several reasons, and one of them is being touched out from too much petting, explains Dr. McMillan. Some kittens reach their limit more quickly than others, so reduce the risk of them lashing out. Try not to overwhelm your kitten with prolonged cuddling and forced interactions. Short but frequent fusses are better. So, if you've decided that your kitten is behaving more aggressively than usual, there's no need to panic. There are a number of ways you can address the problem and encourage better behavior in the future. 1. Don't let them play with your hands or feet. Fingers and toes can be preternaturally inviting to a curious kitten, but letting them play with your fingers or toes is likely to result in pain for you. Focus your kitten's attention on toys instead, and should it attack your hands or feet, You should keep very still and quiet until they lose interest, and then distract them with one of the best kitten toys. 2. And this is important, don't punish your kitten. If you've spent any time with cats, you'll have probably learned that punishment has no effect on them whatsoever, and can often make matters worse. Cats simply don't associate punishment with whatever it is they've just done. So if you yell at your kitten for biting and scratching you, it might well be scared, but the kitten won't take that reaction as a lesson not to do it again. Instead, you should focus on positive reinforcement. If your kitten acts aggressively, refocus it on fun toys, and then when it turns its attention to playing with them, reward your kitten with effusive praise and one of the best kitten treats. Timeouts can help. While punishment doesn't work on kittens, a bit of enforced quiet time can make a difference. If your kitten's acting up incessantly, try confining it to its own room for a short time. 10 minutes or so should be enough. Or simply ignore it completely. Your kitten may not sit down and think about what they've done, but should at least give it time to calm down a little bit. Don't adopt a kitten as your only pet. Consider getting a pair of kittens as opposed to just one cat. While cats are naturally solitary animals and do fine living by themselves, sometimes having a sibling with whom they can learn healthy play habits can be really helpful. Although, here's one word of caution. We wouldn't recommend adding a kitten into a home with an already aggressive cat, as this may only make things worse. However, adopting 2 kittens at the same time is worth considering. Now, is my cat playing or being aggressive with me? Well, there's a fine line between rough play and aggression, so it can sometimes be hard to tell whether a kitten just got carried away in the excitement of playtime or if they're acting up. By understanding the signs above, you should be able to tell the difference. In particular, you should pay close attention to your kitten's body language and also note whether it's attacking you during play or launching itself at your feet when you're just walking past. The latter is a lot more likely to be an aggressive act. And finally, does kitten aggression go away? In all likelihood, yes. If your kittens had a normal upbringing, any acts of aggression are likely to be more to do with playtime getting a bit out of hand, which in turn teaches it useful boundaries that should result in less overtly aggressive behavior. And by 16 weeks old, most kittens have figured out acceptable limits of behavior. You're tuned in to the Magazine Rack on Chris. Now we have a piece by Catherine Williams titled, How to Get a Dog to Sleep in a Different Room. If you sleep in the same room as your beloved furry friend, but struggle to sleep because of allergies or maybe their sleeping habits, it could be time for you to learn how to get a dog to sleep in a different room. Any pet parent will agree, our four-legged friends are the light of our lives. They're always there at the end of a long day to bring a smile to your face, and one cuddle has the power to boost your mood tenfold. However, when it comes to catching a good night's sleep, having your canine companion snoozing, and perhaps sweetly snoring away beside you, can prove to be disruptive, especially if you have a dog that twitches in their sleep or if you have a sleep-barking dog. Despite what your dog might think, sleeping in separate rooms comes with a whole lot of benefits. Along with helping you get the quality sleep you need to function during the day, sleeping separately helps your dog to get used to you not being there 24/7. Plus, it minimizes the risk that they'll bring parasites into the bedroom, although that's where the best flea treatments for dogs come into their own. Sleeping in separate beds may also help your dog to sleep later in the morning. Now, it's fair to say that learning how to get a dog to sleep in a different room will need a handful of patience and perseverance. But once you've got it mastered, you and your energy levels will feel all the better for doing so. To help you and your furry friend get a better quality of sleep, here are some tips to try out. First, don't give them mixed messages. Should your dog sleep in your bed is a common canine conundrum. If you're yet to bring your pooch home, pet expert Anna Webb recommends starting how you mean to go on. Begin from the get-go, training your dog to sleep in a separate room if this is what you want. Meaning, No mixed messages with the odd sleep in your own bed, adds Webb. If you're lost as to where to start, well, just like humans, dogs love to have a comfy place to lay their heads, which is where the best dog beds step up to the plate. Or if you've got a big hound on your hands, the best large dog beds may be better suited. Place their bed in a comfy spot with no drafts. And to help lull them to sleep, says Webb, put a radio in the room so the dog has sonic enrichment and deflects from any outdoor sounds. The second tip is tire them out. If you've already been sleeping in the same room as your dog, the first step is to wear that precious pooch of yours out. Sleepiness is your friend when it comes to getting your dog to settle into a new sleep spot, as most dogs will sleep just about anywhere if they're tired enough. If you have one of the 10 best dogs for runners or walkers, and you enjoy pounding the pavement, take your dog out for a good, vigorous workout a few hours before you want them to go to bed. Hey, it'll be beneficial for the dog and for you. Now, you won't have to do this forever, but tiring them out each day in the first week or so of introducing them to their new sleeping area will help a lot. And if that fails, give your dog an interactive toy like a Kong to help distract them and tire them out before lights out. Number three is create a sleep sanctuary. One of the best ways to get your pup to sleep in a new place is to make it so enticing that it's going to be impossible for them to resist. As we mentioned earlier, if you've not already done so, consider getting a good quality bed for your dog. If your furry friend is on the anxious side, choose one with higher sides that will help them feel safe and secure. Add in a cozy blanket, a pillow, and some toys, and voila, you've just created the perfect haven for your hound. For dogs that aren't used to being on their own, you might want to invest in one of the best dog crates and place their bed, blanket, and toys in there to begin with until they feel comfortable being alone. Dogs like to have a den, Webb tells us. Modern crates work really well to give a dog a safe den. Number four, lead your dog. Don't force them. Do you remember those days as a kid when you were forced to eat those vegetables you hated in order to get dessert? Yeah, not fun. None of us likes to be forced to do something we don't want to do, and it's no different with our pets. Just like being force-fed Brussels sprouts probably turned you off of them for life, being forced to sleep in a particular place can have the same effect on your dog. When it comes to a new snooze spot, the honey approach works a lot better than the vinegar one. Grab a bag of the best dog treats and use these to help encourage your dog to sleep where you want them to. Lead them in there with the treats and lots of verbal praise, and spend some time hanging out with them in their new sleep space, making it a fun and safe place to be. When your dog is in the bed, give a treat and introduce the cue, "On your bed," Webb recommends. Call your dog off the bed to you and praise the recall. Repeat, "On your bed," and encourage with treats. The trick is the dog must not come out of the bed until you ask them to, says Webb. Very gradually, encourage your pet to stay on its bed as you walk backwards, leaving the room with your sleepy furry friend staying on the bed. And number five, a routine is your best friend. No matter how old your hound is, they're similar to children in that they thrive on routine, and pet expert Webb agrees. They love structure in their day, and that's also really good for their humans, too. Dogs like their day punctuated with walks, comfort breaks, and playtime. And after these three things have been achieved, it's more likely that they will settle in their bed, says Webb. So each evening, try to be consistent with the time you exercise them, feed them, and put them to bed. That way, your dog will know exactly what to expect. Once you're at the bedtime stage of your evening routine, there are a few helpful things you can do to encourage your dog to want to doze off. Place a treat in their bed each night. This gives them something to look forward to and entices them to head in the direction of their sleeping spot. But, as Webb explains, you could also promote settling with appropriate chews and interactive toys and by placing that radio on for sound enrichment. And also, fresh water should always be available for your dog to drink. After they've got into bed and are happily munching on their treat, spend a few minutes stroking your pup and gently making a fuss so that they feel safe and comfortable. Once you're at that stage, say goodnight and leave them. As with everything, consistency is the key. Repeat the same routine each night, and very soon your dog will know what's expected of them. Mix lots of praise. We know we've already said this, but it's worth stressing. When it comes to getting your pup to sleep in a different room, there's no such thing as too much praise. Be liberal when it comes to telling your four-legged buddy that they're a good boy or girl, and back the words up with plenty of affection and a few treats here and there. And don't forget to mix lots of praise with lots of patience. Speaking of things you can't have too much of, patience is another biggie. Just like with children, our canine companions will often push those boundaries just to see how far they can go, and it might take them some time to learn the ropes. So, preparing for that can save you a lot of frustration. So when you feel yourself wanting to tear your hair out because your four-legged friend won't sleep where you want them to, take a few deep breaths and remember, patience, perseverance, and consistency is the recipe for success. You're listening to the Magazine Rack on Chris. Finally, we have a great story by Stephen Messenger titled, Woman Makes Dummy of Herself to Keep Anxious Dog Company While She's Away. Meet Sarah, a sweet-natured rescue dog who, in recent years, has been battling separation anxiety. When the pup's owner, Colleen, stepped out for even just a short while, Sarah would sadly go into a panic. But fortunately, Colleen thinks she may finally have found a fix. Sarah's discomfort being alone began later in life, manifesting itself in destructive and self-injuring behaviors. As soon as Colleen would step away from home, the poor dog would bark, pant, chew on furniture, and pace endlessly throughout the house to find her. On one occasion, Sarah rubbed her nose raw on the door after Colleen had left. Colleen was heartbroken to see Sarah so anxious and tried everything she could to put her at ease. Unfortunately, things like CBD oils, crate training, taking her on extra long walks, and getting prescriptions for Prozac, Clomicalm, and tranquilizers from Sarah's vet all failed to adequately soothe her. It evolved into my having to be with her constantly, leaving her with someone else, or having to take her to doggy daycare whenever I left, Colleen, who asked not to include her last name, told the Dodo. But then Colleen's cousin gave her an idea, to make a dummy version of herself to hang out with Sarah in her absence. When the posable, life-size dummy arrived at Colleen's house, Colleen was immediately skeptical about the plan. Sarah would not fall for such simple deception, Colleen remembers thinking. But still, she thought it was worth a try on the off chance it would give her pup some relief. Colleen then set about making her dummy counterpart, dubbed Dolly, as convincingly Colleen-like as she could. With the addition of glasses and clothing, Dolly was really starting to come together. To make Colleen's stuffed surrogate even more reassuring to Sarah as a fill-in, she even put Dolly in her bed to acquire her scent. Colleen then gradually began introducing Sarah to Dolly. When she left for brief periods of time, Colleen started leaving her dummy counterpart resting around the house in places where Sarah normally wouldn't expect to interact with her, like in the bathroom, for instance, fearing that too close a look would reveal Dolly as an imposter. And it seemed to be working. Just a passing glance of Dolly appeared to be enough to put Sarah at ease while the real Colleen was away, even for a few hours at a time. Coming home, Colleen would find Sarah peacefully sleeping on the couch as if she'd been there the whole time. But then, after coming home one day, Colleen found Sarah like this. And here we see a picture of Sarah sleeping on the bathroom floor with Dolly propped up standing at the sink. "I found her curled up at Dolly's feet," said Colleen. She had never slept on the floor of the bathroom until Dolly was there. Sarah, it seemed, doesn't think Dolly is actually Colleen, but the company of a familiar presence is reassuring regardless. In light of that, Colleen still isn't planning any long getaways, but she's optimistic that her dog will continue to feel less anxious with the dolly technique. "It has worked better than many other methods so far," said Colleen. "I'm hoping Sarah and Dolly stay close." Well, Colleen is certainly no dummy. That's a great idea. And that'll do it for this installment of the Magazine Rack on Chris. I've been reading from the Pet Radar website, the Dog Time website, the PetMD.com website, and the Dodo.com website. I'm Mario Cajar. So long till next time.